Now, yesterday, as we talked about at the start of the program, there was an explosion which took place just outside Tralee, just on the outskirts of Tralee at Manor West. And thankfully, only one person injured, serious but non-life-threatening injuries. One of the remarkable aspects of that we found here is that online, just really in the hour after the explosion at 5 o'clock, there was a fake video doing the rounds, which had a much bigger explosion, quite realistic as well, I might add, in terms of what it purported to show, and the level of fire and an explosion then which engulfed the car and the car park next to it. And it's just frighteningly realistic. And that's one of the aspects. That's the AI deepfake aspects that we're seeing out there. Someone had gone to the trouble, had the expertise in relation to this, just for probably fun, putting out there a much more serious thing than it actually was. And that gained currency, got lots of views online. We're just recently on from the presidential election, whereby a deepfake video was put out there in running up to polling day of Catherine Connolly supposedly withdrawing from the presidential election and saying that Heather Humphreys was president automatically in an attempt to suppress her voters' turnout. A complaint has been made to the Data Protection Commissioner in relation to that. And we're also reading concerning stories in relation to younger people and their interactions with AI, particularly young men and young boys in relation to AI and striking up friendships and regarding themselves as having AI girlfriends. That's before you even go anywhere near. And there was people before the courts charged with money laundering offences and money mulling offences linked to an online romance scam yesterday in Ireland. That's just a little bit of what has been happening online, the concerns for younger people and all people in relation to what is put online. Well, with me on the line to talk about this in more detail, with advice to listeners about online safety, protect yourself and your children from scams, abuse, misinformation and AI deception, is Éilidh Daly from Tralee. Now, Éilidh, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kerry, today, Gerry.
Tell me a bit about your experience. You've spent over 2 decades working in Dublin's tech sector with some of the biggest companies in the world in this area.
That's right. Well, I'm originally from Tralee and I went to school here. My very first paid job was actually recording ads at Radio Kerry when I was 13, Gerry. So it's nice to be back on the air some 30 years later. But yes, I actually started my career as a barrister in Dublin, working in criminal law. And, you know, that experience taught me a lot about people, how complex human behaviour can be. And over time, I saw an opportunity to apply those skills that I was using in court every day. So judgment, you know, reasoning, advocacy and empathy to the world of technology policy and online safety. And I hung up my wig and gown and have spent nearly 15 years working in Dublin's tech sector with companies like Google, Twitter and TikTok. But I've recently moved back to Kerry with my young family and I now work as a consultant with Web Purify. And they're a company that helps platforms. So by platforms, I mean social media companies, online marketplaces and many other online businesses around the world to detect and remove harmful or illegal content and just generally to make the internet safer for everyone.
Okay, so Éilidh.
Well, what I was going to say is that what's so nice now is that I get to do this work from my home office here in Kerry and, you know, collaborating every day with teams in the US, in Europe and beyond. And as part of that work, I've just launched a new podcast called Trust Issues, Insights from the People Who Keep the Internet Safe. And the purpose of that is to shine a light on the people and the policies keeping us safe online, from scams and abuse to misinformation and the AI risks that you mentioned at the intro.
Well, let me ask this in general, and I know this is a wider question with regards to what people have had to deal with online over the last number of years. Are we all, including the tech companies, playing catch up? That scammers and criminals and people putting out fake videos are racing way ahead, or the technology is racing ahead of our ability to counter it?
Well, I suppose, you know, the area of online safety I work in, it's called, you know, trusted safety, or TNS for short. And that's basically the team that's inside in a big tech company or a small tech company whose job it is to keep people safe when they're using the platform. So when you think about a social media site like Instagram or TikTok or an online marketplace like Amazon or Temu or Airbnb, there's a whole group of people working behind the scenes to decide what's acceptable behaviour and what isn't. And they're writing the rules that say things like, you can't post hate speech, or you can't sell counterfeit goods, or you can't share someone else's private photos. And then when something does go wrong, for example, like a scam, an abusive message, or a child safety concern, it's that trust and safety team that investigates it, takes the content down, or even works with the police if needed. So when you say, are they on the back foot? I don't think so. I think that, you know, trust and safety is a very, it's a less known, you know, professional organization, but they are working at they are working on the pulse of these developments online. And, you know, it's such a broad field because you're covering everything from fraud prevention and child protection to misinformation and digital well-being. And, you know, in simple terms, they're like the digital neighborhood watch of the internet. So trying to keep platforms running smoothly and protecting the people that use them. But the hard part of it, Jerry, is that those decisions, they're rarely black and white. You're constantly balancing safety and privacy and freedom of speech. And that balance is at the heart of what makes this work, you know, both challenging, but also incredibly important.
Yeah, is part of the problem is the issue that there's just so much content out there. There are so many people uploading so many videos at the one time.
I think that's a really good observation. And I think, you know, there is this element of like, you know, platforms like Facebook, they're trying to tackle information, but they're processing billions of posts. They'll never catch absolutely everything. And that's why we all need to develop a kind of a digital common sense to look at what we're seeing and ask, does this look real? Who's posting it? Is it from a verified or a trustworthy source? Because, there's false information that spreads that might seem harmless to some folks, about a celebrity story. I have a great example of my own mum who said, who'll kill me for sharing the story, but I'm sure you won't mind. She said, oh, did you see Rylan and Judge Reinder are after having a baby? And, you know, when I asked her where she'd seen it, she said, well, I saw it on Facebook. And I thought to myself, well, God, I knew that they were doing a show together, but I certainly didn't think they were in a relationship. And I certainly didn't think they had had a child together. And of course, when we looked at it together, it turned out to be a fake news account pretending to be a real outlet. And albeit that was on Facebook, it wasn't a true story. So, you know, a fake celebrity story could be mostly harmless. But when misinformation spreads about health, about elections or events like you flagged at the top of this conversation, the consequences can be incredibly serious, even life-threatening. So, you know, I have some advice that I wanted to share with your listeners in terms of how to keep yourself and your family safe online. And this is one of the key takeaways I want people to have is think before you share, because false information, it spreads so fast. So please just pause and check the source before resharing.
It's really important. The other thing about that, though, and this is where another danger comes in, that video yesterday was out pretty quick after the explosion in the house in Manor West. And I said it was pretty sophisticated. It took three or four watches to see a lot of people might not have picked up it wasn't genuine, except that a passing car was shown traveling backwards in the video. But as AI learns and the tools become more widespread, that's going to be an area of concern, the ability to spot
Absolutely.
What's real and not real.
And this is it. And, you know, we don't want to turn everybody into paranoid, like completely paranoid when they're observing anything. But at the same time, it is also about adopting some digital common sense. And of course, AI, it's one of the things I want to talk to you about, is being aware of AI scams. Because AI, as you said, it is making scams and deepfakes more convincing. So if you get a strange call or you see a strange message, message, you need to verify it through another channel. And that is a skill that we need to start adopting and not just, you know, becoming victims because we're not doing the work. You know, my dad said to me there, again, I'm throwing my parents under the bus massively here. They're going to be delighted with me. But, you know, I got a message from him, or he contacted me there a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Oh, I got your message today. You got a new number." And I said, "Well, Dad, no, I didn't get a new number. Where, did you get a message from my number?" And he said, no, it was a different number, but it said, "It's me.
It said it was
I got
you.
A new number." And I said, "Well, Dad, why did you think it was from me?" And his reply was, "Sure, who else would be messaging me?" And of course, you know, there's that element of like, when we sat down and we looked at the message together, he was like, "Oh yeah, I get it now." But what we're seeing actually is scams, the use of AI generated voices and images that sound or look like just like someone you know. So my advice here is to folks is, if a loved one calls you or texts you, you know, asking for money or asking for personal information, and it feels off, hang up. And call them back on the number that you know them to use. On the podcast, I've spent a bit of time with a safety designer from Google. And he gives amazing advice using the acronym HALT. So H-A-L-T. And this is really about trying to slow down your brain when you're facing, you know, a potential scam or a misinformation. And it is all around just the giving your brain time to pause and think. So using the acronym HALT. So H stands for hurried. Am I being rushed? You know, A stands for authentic. Is this person really who they say they are? L stands for likelihood. Does the situation actually make sense? And then T, and I think this is the most important part, talk. Can I talk it through with somebody I trust? And those, I think, are important skills that everybody needs to kind of think about when we are spending so much of our lives online. It's really important that we take the time to really educate ourselves and make sure that we're putting ourselves in the best possible position to be safe. Another really important takeaway, and this ties in with that, is slowing down before you click. Because, you know, there is something about that. Scammers use the same playbook over and over again. They just use small adaptations. So if something feels really urgent or emotional, like that, a message saying your account is about to be shut down or you've won something, you need to take a step back before you react. Because what they're relying on is they're relying on getting you to make a decision quickly before you've had the time to think. That's how they win. So if you ever, you know, and I think that's another really important point as well, Jerry, is that if you ever do fall victim to a scam or to a fraud, please don't feel ashamed. You're not stupid. You're not uneducated. You're actually the victim of a crime. And it happens to some of the smartest, most careful people.
Well, the people behind this, Elise, have behavioural science behind them at the top level, in terms that they understand what pushes their buttons, the level of urgency that's presented, that it tends to work in the human brain, no matter how smart you are.
Exactly. And again, like I mentioned, it's the same playbook over and over again. You know, the story might have changed somewhat, but it's the exact same story arc. And it's a simple thing. And it's like you create that, you know, emotional moment for somebody. They detach from their logical brain and they'll make a decision that is so unlike them. You know, and that's why, but of course, what's really important here is that fraud and scams are hugely, this is another reason that scammers are winning. Frauds and scams are hugely underreported because there's such a stigma associated with them. And that then makes it harder for the people who are fighting frauds and scams online to analyze the patterns and to fight them. So it's really important for listeners to be like, to report what has happened. You know, to not to feel shame or to feel guilt, you're the victim here. So whether you're reporting it to your bank, to the Gardaí, or the platform itself, what you're actually doing is you're helping to protect somebody else, because the signals, the playbook that was used against you, if that is known, then we can use it to mitigate it from happening to somebody else. And I think that's a really important thing for folks to, in order to safe online. I also would love to chat to you about, you know, particularly around children and keeping them safe online, because actually children are the most vulnerable users of you know, in online spaces.
Yeah, and they need to be protected the most, I suppose. How easy or otherwise is it for parents to try and put barriers in place to protect them?
Well, I always think that it's actually not the barriers that are most important. It's actually the conversations. Talking to kids early and openly. So we need to start conversations about online safety the way that we talk about road safety. We do it calmly and we do it often. Scaremongering or bans, they don't work when it comes, well, especially to older kids, you know, teenagers and technology.
Yeah.
But what does work, Jerry, is education and engagement, creating that culture of openness and trust. And parents, you know, they do, I'm a parent myself, we need to do the work. We need to learn about the apps that kids are using, read their rules, understand how they work. You can't put your head in the sand like, oh no, I'm not a techie person. It's very easy to read the rules and what the risks are. Because you know what? You wouldn't put your child on your car insurance, hand them the car keys, yeah, and send them off down the road in your Fiat Punto without a lesson or ever checking in on them, would you? And the same goes for giving them a phone or a social media account. And for younger children or for preteens, I think what's really, really important is to remember that many apps are simply not designed for them. And I wonder, like, some people, they don't even check what the age limit is on for apps. They just click the download button or the install button on their phone. If an app says you need to be 13 or older, there's a reason for that, Jerry. Those age limits aren't, they're not pulled out of the sky. And, you know, that means disappointing your 12-year-old who's desperate to join TikTok or Snapchat. But there are ways around that. You can always watch things together or explore content, you know, as a family until they're old enough to use it responsibly. But if you're allowing your kids to bypass those rules, you're doing them a massive disservice, because that can expose them to risks they're just not yet equipped to handle, from inappropriate content to online manipulation. And, you know, it's really worth remembering, TikTok, Instagram, any other platform isn't going to parent your child for you. That's not what they're built to do. So don't make the assumption that they will.
Yeah. Okay, Eilish, that's brilliant. Thanks, William, for taking time to talk to us in the programme this morning about that. That's Eilish Daly. And Trust Issues is the podcast that she's behind.